Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, flying solo again today for another episode of Hidden Gems, a series where we dig deep to unearth some spicy underplayed cards in the Commander format. Today, we've gone way back into Blue's catalog to find some particularly spicy cards. And, well, why don't we start with the basics? Everyone knows that no color can draw quite like Blue can. From powerful value engines, format-defining staples like Rhystic Study, like Mystic Remora, like Consecrated Sphinx, Blue also happens to have some of the best one-shot ways to refill your hand. From Muldrifter coming down and drawing you two cards, to Recurring Insight or Blue Sun Zenith drawing you a whole fistful of cards to really reload your hand. Blue, however, apart from just drawing bulk amount of cards or just continuously drawing cards, is great at filtering your draw. From looting effects like Merfolk Looter, where the effect literally gets its name, to cards like Search for Azcanta, which let you look at the top card of your library and then decide if you're going to keep it or you're going to pitch it. And this includes, beyond simply reusable engines like this, just like we said, one-shot effects which are similar to scry effects, like Preordain, a blue mana to scry two and then draw a card, to previous iterations like Ponder, where you look at the top three cards of your library, put them back in any order, you may shuffle your library and draw a card, all the way back to Brainstorm, for a single blue mana, you get an instant, draw three cards, then put two cards from your hand back on top of your library in any order. Blue has always been good at not just drawing lots of cards, but also making sure that they get the higher quality card draw. And this is the part of Blue's color pie we're going to be looking at for our hidden gem today. Our hidden gem this week is Ancestral Knowledge, an enchantment for one and a blue with cumulative upkeep of one. When Ancestral Knowledge comes into play, look at the top 10 cards of your library and remove any number of them from the game. Then put the rest back on top of your library in any order. If Ancestral Knowledge leaves play, shuffle your library. Now, two mana for an enchantment that lets you rearrange the top 10 cards of your library and the ability to exile anything that's not particularly useful, that's pretty strong. But cumulative upkeep tends to give people the heebie-jeebies. Let's talk about that. That's not an effect we see very often these days. So cumulative upkeep is a keyword. At the beginning of your upkeep, you put an age counter on Ancestral Knowledge. Then, you sacrifice it unless you pay its upkeep cost, in this case, one generic mana, for each age counter on Ancestral Knowledge. So, the turn after you pay it, you'll put an age counter on it, and you'll pay one. The turn after that, you'll put a second age counter on it, you'll pay two generic mana. This type of thing, this increasing expense to maintain an effect, this is not something that a lot of Commander players are really looking for. They don't want to pay extra mana for this type of an effect, and I don't blame them. But what you'll see with the way Ancestral Knowledge really plays out, rarely do you need to worry about that cumulative upkeep, and sometimes it can even provide a benefit. If you're set up properly, you can most likely get away with only having to pay a single generic mana. And even with very little setup, Ancestral Knowledge, based in blue, will often require almost nothing of your cumulative upkeep cost. So, what do I mean with this? When you combine Ancestral Knowledge with other cards, it becomes particularly powerful. And these are often cards which are already very good in the colors you're playing. So, if we're starting out in blue, you can come out well ahead when you combine with card draw that blue is already good at, like Rhystic Study. Two and a blue for an enchantment. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, you may draw a card unless that player pays one. Moldrifter, four and a blue for a 2/2 flying creature elemental. When it enters the battlefield, you may draw two cards. And it has evoke for two and a blue, so cast it for its evoke cost, you sacrifice it, you essentially just get the enter the battlefield effect and not a warm body off of it. And finally, cards like Brainstorm. As we said before, a blue mana for an instant, draw three cards, put two cards from your hand back on top of your library in any order. Being able to immediately turn around and cash in on the deck stacking you just did with Ancestral Knowledge is what lets you take advantage of this without really needing to worry about the shuffle effect. If you only really cared about getting those one or two cards that you saw that were useful off the top of your deck, and you got to exile some lands you didn't want to hit or other effects that weren't going to be useful, Ancestral Knowledge has done its job. But this isn't even where Ancestral Knowledge really starts to shine. This card really starts to shine when you can reuse it and work around the cumulative upkeep cost. Azorius decks in particular enable a lot of different ways that you can start to reuse enchantments from the graveyard, as well as some blink effects. So Hall of Heliod's Generosity is one such card. It is a legendary land that taps for colorless, or you can pay one and a white, tap, put target enchantment card from your graveyard on top of your library. Once you can repeatedly start digging through your library and pick the best of the top 10 cards every turn, That is extremely strong. Other cards in the same color identity, you get cards like Venser the Sojourner. This card is actually the reason I dug Ancestral Knowledge out of my own collection. Venser the Sojourner is a planeswalker for 3, a white, and a blue. It starts with 3 loyalty. You can give him +2 loyalty and exile target permanent you own. Enchantments are permanents. Return it to the battlefield under your control at the beginning of the next end step. So, Venser essentially allows you to continuously stack the top 10 cards of your library, and with no other draw effects, just make sure you are always drawing the best of those 10 cards every single turn for the cost of a single generic mana to maintain the card through your upkeep into your draw step. Venser also has a couple of other abilities. -1 creatures you control are unblockable this turn, and -8 you get an emblem with whenever you cast a spell, exile target permanent. Really, when we're looking at Ancestral Knowledge, we just care about the plus. Now, there's also some commanders in Azorius which combine particularly well with Ancestral Knowledge, one of which is Hannah, Ship's Navigator. For 1, a white, and a blue, she's a legendary creature, human artificer. For a 1/2, you can pay 1 white and blue tap, return target artifact or enchantment card from your graveyard to your hand. So Hannah allows you to have Hall of Heliod's Generosity type effect in the command zone to let you reuse Ancestral Knowledge. The cost is a little bit higher, but the repeatability and the dependability of having her in the command zone really makes a difference. Now, we talked about blinking a moment ago, and Hannah, while a powerful person to use Ancestral Knowledge, kind of pales in comparison to Brago, King Eternal. 2, a white and a blue for a legendary creature, Spirit Noble. It's a 2/4 with flying. Whenever Brago, King Eternal, deals combat damage to a player, exile any number of target non-land permanents you control, then return those cards to the battlefield under their owner's control. So, Brago, every single turn, blinking Ancestral Knowledge means you will be setting up the top 10 cards of your library to be very, very useful. You will be throwing away land cards so you don't flood out, and if you combine it with any of the other countless enter-the-battlefield draw effects that you see in Brago, like Moldrifter, you can be getting such high-quality card draw off of these effects. Ancestral Knowledge essentially becomes a force multiplier for all of your enter-the-battlefield draw effects. You will make sure you will only hit gas if you have this in your deck. Now, once we move outside of Azorius, we can see some really interesting effects. Enchantress decks, particularly in Bant-type Enchantress decks that include blue, are the perfect place to have an enchantment which stacks their deck to make sure they don't flood out with lands when they're trying to play and draw into a flurry of enchantments on a single turn. Decks like Tuvasa the Sunlit are often going to have multiple enchantresses, because they're going to have Mesa Enchantress, they're going to have Argothian Enchantress, they're going to have Verdurin Enchantress, and they're going to want to make sure that every card they top deck off of those Enchantress draws is going to be an enchantment. Ancestral Knowledge does that extremely well. These decks also tend to have a lot of graveyard recursion for enchantments to continue to reuse them, and that combines very well with what you want to do with Ancestral Knowledge anyway. Pay for it once, get your effect, let it die to the cumulative upkeep effect, or simply sneak around paying it, and these Enchantress decks are often very good at it. In Sultai, once we move out of white and start looking at other colors, we get some interesting options. We get Yarok the Desecrated. Yarok the Desecrated is 2, a black, a green, and a blue for a legendary creature, Elemental Horror, a 3/5 with Death Touch and Lifelink. If a permanent entering the battlefield causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time. What that means for Ancestral Knowledge is, enters the battlefield, look at the top 10 cards of your library, exile anything you don't want, then stack the rest. And then do it again. So with Yarok, you really don't want to be shy with your Ancestral Knowledge. You want to just ruthlessly cull the top of your deck. Any lands you see that you don't want to hit, you just throw those suckers into exile. You can wind up digging very deep. If you're looking for a particular effect, and if you've built your deck well, being able to see 15, 16, 17, 20 cards deep, you are probably going to find something that is useful to you in that time. Now, in Sultai, we also have a commander for which Ancestral Knowledge seems custom-built practically, and that is Muldrotha the Gravetide, one of the most popular commanders. She is 3, a black, a blue, and a green, for a legendary creature, Elemental Avatar, a 6/6. During each of your turns, you may play up to 1 permanent card of each permanent type from your graveyard. And spoilers, enchantments are permanents. So, we get to sacrifice Ancestral Knowledge to its own cumulative upkeep ability, so we can cast it again with Muldrotha the Gravetide, and then followed up with any of the Enter the Battlefield or Sacrifice draw effects that we want that we'll find in black, green, and blue, yeah, there's a lot of options for abuse there. It practically feels like you're cheating when you are going to be able to go through and repeatedly stack the top of your deck, draw the best cards, and then do it again every single turn. You're going to hit a lot of gas with Ancestral Knowledge in a Muldrotha deck. So, how deep did we have to dig for this particular card? When we're looking at these commanders we mentioned today, there are a total of 257 Hanna Ships Navigator decks on EDHREC.com. Four of them, 1.56%, are running Ancestral Knowledge. Brago King Eternal decks, there are 1,696. Only 25 of them are running this card. That is 1.47%. In Muldrotha decks, 4,532 of them, only 16 are running this type of effect. That is 0.35% are running Ancestral Knowledge. Tuvasa the Sun that we mentioned before under Enchantresses, there are a total of 5 out of the 2,251 Tuvasa the Sunlit decks, 0.22% that are running Ancestral Knowledge. And Yarok the Desecrated, out of a possible 3,341, there are 4 total decks running this. That is 0.12% of decks that are running Ancestral Knowledge. This sees play in a total of 302 out of a possible 220,703 blue-containing decks on EDHREC.com. That one we dug deep for. Now, the only downside, Ancestral Knowledge is currently on the reserve list, which means the price, unfortunately, probably has nowhere to go but up at this point. This is one that's worth looking into. This is one that's probably worth picking up. Now, are there any other hidden gems you particularly like for filtering your draw in blue? If there are, leave us a comment, send us an email, add us on Twitter. Until next time, I'm John. This is Gemstone Mine. We'll be back again soon. We got a new set that's coming out, and I'll bet you want to know what's in our cart. You can reach the crew from Gemstone Mine on Twitter at GemstoneMineMTG, or send us an email at GemstoneMinePodcast@gmail.com. On YouTube, we're Gemstone Mine Podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell.